All praise be to Allah, the God Almighty, والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد. This will be the first lessons of this summer course, which we have kept in this mosque with the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Masjid Al-Faruq. And the best thing a Muslim spends his time on is the mention of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and seeking the knowledge of Sharia, the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is the best type of mentioning of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Do you want me to guide you to the best works? That is the best for you from spending gold and silver, and better for you than meeting the enemy and fighting him for the sake of Allah." And the companion said, "Yes, O Messenger of Allah." And Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, "Mentioning of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is best than all of this. Best than all of this. There is nothing like the mentioning of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and mentioning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the best type of mentioning is the mentioning that goes beyond only mentioning. It includes learning and teaching others. And mentioning is, like we said, the best type of work, the best type of worship. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran the fruits of seeking knowledge. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will raise levels those who seek the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in a different ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the ones who know are better than the ones who don't know. Meaning the ones who have knowledge are better than the ones who don't have knowledge in levels. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to say, the scholars or the one who seek knowledge are the ones who inherit the prophets, for the prophets don't leave behind money. All they leave behind is knowledge. And the scholars are the ones who inherit the prophets and messengers. So the knowledge that was inherited from the scholars is this knowledge. The knowledge that raises the level of the slave when he seeks it. The knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The knowledge of Sharia. And the knowledge in this life, like science and literature and others, is not knowledge that is forbidden. It is knowledge that a person is supposed to seek, and that knowledge benefits a person in this life, but it does not add to his scale in the Day of Judgment unless he uses it in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So seeking the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the knowledge of Sharia, is a way to get closer to God and a way of the slave reaping the rewards of God. And among the most beneficial of knowledge, as the scholars say, is this book that we have in front of us, which is known as the Tadmuriyah Letter, which is authored by Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah. in this book, Ibn Taymiyyah, summarized clearing and explaining the thought of the companions, the thought of Ahlul Sunnah about the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and about the destiny, and it answers those who had different opinions about these chapters. And Ibn Taymiyyah in this book mentions the thoughts, the schools of thought about these subjects, and he answers their claims and disputes their claims and clarifies the thought of Ahlul Sunnah. The reason this book is called the Tadmuriyya Letters is in reference to the city of Tadmur. And Tadmur is a city in the desert in Syria. And the reason it was called the Tadmur letter is because some of the scholars in Tadmur asked Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah to write to them about these questions that they had, questions about the attributes of Allah, questions about destiny. And Ibn Taymiyyah wrote this book, which is called Letter, in reference and in answering those questions. And some scholars also said the reason it is called a Tadmuriyya, Tadmir in the Arabic language, meaning destroying. And the scholars say that hopefully the answers in this letter will destroy the opinions that disagree and the innovations that people came up with about the attributes of Allah and about destiny. الشيخ فالح المهدي الشيخ ابن عثيمين الشيخ فضل الدين ابن زبير الشيخ عبد الرحمن البراك and other scholars have dedicated books in explaining the book of Ibn Taymiyyah, summarizing the book of Ibn Taymiyyah, this book that we have between our hands today. At the beginning of this letter, Ibn Taymiyyah starts by thanking Allah and praising Allah. The authors who summarize the book of Ibn Taymiyyah start the first line of the book by reciting the name of the author, which is Shaykh al-Islam Taqiyuddin Ibn Taymiyyah. Shaykh Ibn Taymiyyah starts the book by saying, we praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we seek refuge in Him. And we seek His blessings and we seek His forgiveness. Whom Allah guides, no one can misguide. And whom Allah misguides, no one can guide. And I bear witness that there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah, and that Muhammad is his slave and his messenger, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Ibn Taymiyyah starts his book with Khutbat al-Haja. And Khutbat al-Haja is what the messenger, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, used to start his speech and used to start his sayings. And this Khutbat al-Haja is translated to the speech of need. And that is, the Messenger ﷺ used to say these supplications before he starts his speech by saying, all praise be to Allah, we seek refuge in Him, Ask him to guide us, and those whom Allah guides, no one can misguide, and those who Allah misguides, no one can guide. And I bear witness that there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah, and that Muhammad is his messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is called khutbat al-haja. And Muslims use it when they want in marriage, for example. And the Imam uses it in the speech, for example, the speech of Yawm al-Jum'ah, Khutbat al-Jum'ah. In it, we praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and in it, in this Khutbat al-Haja, we bear witness and give testimony of the glory of Allah and the unity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that we worship no one but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we testify that no one is worthy of worship and no one is worthy of asking for help and refuge and forgiveness except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in this khutbat al-haja, we also mention the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that there is no one worthy of worship except Allah, which is the name of Allah, al-wahid. And testifying the unity of the Almighty God as the only God worthy of worship is necessary for a believer to also believe that the one Lord worthy of worship is Allah and only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because that also means that you cannot worship anyone except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that your deeds are dedicated to no one except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also in this khutbat al-haja, you testify that the message of Allah, the message of Islam, came to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wa sallam. And also when you say, whomever Allah guides, no one can misguide, and whomever Allah misguides, no one can guide, you bear witness by saying that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who controls destiny, the one who decides the life of a person, of creatures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. After Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah got done with Khutbat al-Haja, and that is the introduction, he moves into the subject, the reason he is writing this letter, the reason he's writing this book. The word amma ba'd, which is named fasl al-khitab, some scholars said these are the words that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught Prophet Dawood, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran says, we have taught Dawood al-hikmah, wisdom, and we gave him fasl al-khitab, the ability to control the keys of speech. So Shaykh Ibn Taymiyyah, after Khutbat al-Haja, moves on to the subject. And says, some people who are worthy of answering asked me to write them and write to them what they have heard from me in some of the lectures I have given. And the topic of those lectures were speech about التوحيد والصفات. التوحيد is worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone, and الصفات is the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and in الشرع and القدر, and القدر means destiny. So Ibn Taymiyyah says, scholars wrote me, and those scholars are worthy of answering, wrote me asking me to write them what they heard from me in speech, asking me to write a book about destiny, about shara' and sharia, and about the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and at-tawheed. And these are scholars from Tadmur. So here Ibn Taymiyyah says that he sat in some lessons and in some lectures surrounding by knowledge seekers and students and scholars who sat in his lectures and heard him talk about these subjects verbally. And they asked him that there is a told him that there is a dire need to have that knowledge put in writing. And they explained to him that what is heard in verbal speech can get lost by memory and by misunderstanding. And they asked Ibn Taymiyyah to put these lessons in writing, explaining destiny, shara', the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, attributes of Allah, and at-tawheed. And they said to Ibn Taymiyyah, they conveyed to him the dire need to explain these branches of knowledge because of, and the main reason for this is because the variety of misunderstandings and different opinions about each of these subjects and each of these branches. So they explained to Ibn Taymiyyah that people have different opinions and different understanding of each of these branches. Here, التوحيد والصفات. التوحيد, as we know, is divided into three parts. توحيد الربوبية, meaning believing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the God of this universe. He's the one who created this universe, and He's the one who controls the affairs of this universe. And that is the first category of Tawheed. And it's called also Tawheed, the Almighty God with Allah's deeds. And Tawheed al-Rububiyyah, meaning believing that there is only one God, also means understanding and believing that God is the Creator. The second branch of Tawheed is Tawheed al-Uluhiyya, and that is called Tawheed worship. And it is also called Tawheed Allah with the deeds of Allah's slaves. Meaning this branch of Tawheed is concerning the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with the slaves' deeds, meaning worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in prayer. You pray only to Allah. worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with your tongue, meaning you mention no one but Allah, you associate no partners with Allah with your tongue. Worshiping God with your heart, meaning that you fear no one but Allah, you hope nothing from no one but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Performing pilgrimage, you perform pilgrimage but to no one but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is Tawheed, Allah, by the deeds of the creation. Meaning Tawheed, the worship, meaning you direct your worship to only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is the second type of Tawheed. So we said the first branch is Tawheed al-Rububiyyah, meaning Tawheed, what is worthy of worship. And Tawheed comes from the word Wahid in Arabic, and Wahid means one. So Tawheed meaning making one, meaning your worship is directed to one, and you believe of a Lord is the belief of one Lord. No association, whether with the tongue, with the heart, or with the limbs, with the arms and legs, meaning with your prayer and your hajj and your jihad. These are worships done by the limbs. Worship done by the tongue is the mentioning of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, reading the Quran, for example. Tawheed by the heart is fear, hope, regret, repentance. These are things done by the heart, and they are all directed to only the one Lord, towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You seek hope from no one but Allah. You fear no one but Allah. And you worship and associate nothing with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The third category of Tawheed is the Tawheed of the attributes and the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That you acknowledge to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala what Allah has acknowledged to himself in names and attributes. For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave to himself in the book, in the Quran, certain names and certain attributes. You, the person who worships Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you confirm these names that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to himself, and these attributes that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to himself. So the scholars in Tadmur wanted Ibn Taymiyyah to write a book about At-Tawheed and As-Sifat, the attributes. And as we said, As-Sifat is a branch of Tawheed. Ibn Taymiyyah here in his book concentrates about the first two branches of Tawheed, which is Tawheed al-Rububiyyah, meaning making the belief that there is no one worthy of worship except Allah, and Tawheed al-Uluhiyyah, meaning that there is no controller of this universe and no creator of this universe and no manager of this universe except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then the scholars of Tadmur also ask Ibn Taymiyyah to include in his book the explanation of Ash-Shar'a. And Ash-Shar'a is the law of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered us to perform Salah and to perform Zakah. In the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أقيم الصلاة وأقيم الزكاة. Perform Salah and perform Zakah. So that is Allah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran says, do not come close to zina, to pornification or adultery. So that is Allah. And that is Shara. Shara is the law of God, the law of Allah. And the fourth thing that the scholars of Tadmur asked of Ibn Taymiyyah in this chapter is to write about Al-Qadr. And Al-Qadr is destiny. The belief that we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what happened, what is happening, and what is going to happen. The reason for it and the knowledge of it. And that is destiny. The belief that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what was, knows what is, and knows what's going to be. And the belief that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's knowledge encirculates everything and includes and knows everything. And no type of knowledge is beyond Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is destiny. The other branch of Qadr, the other branch of destiny, is the scholars call writing. The belief that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wrote what happened and what is going to happen in the affairs of His creation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the pen and told the pen, write. Write what was and what is and what will be. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered this pen to write in al-lawh al-mahfuz, in the book. To write in that book, who will believe and who will be a disbeliever, who will be rich and who will be poor, who will be born and who will die in birth. All of this Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has wrote as law. And that is a part of destiny. There is a second type of kitaba, writing. When the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala orders the angels to come down in the womb when man is being created in his mother's womb, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends an angel and the angel writes. If this child is going to be happy or miserable, rich or poor, when he will die and where he will die. The third type of destiny is the will of God. The belief that what happens in the universe happens by the will of God, and nothing happens in this universe outside of the knowledge and the will of Allah, and the belief that everything that happens to mankind and what surrounds them happens by the will of God, for the wisdom of God, and the belief that what Allah wills will happen and what Allah does not will never happen. And that is the belief in destiny. The fourth level of destiny is the creation of the deeds of people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created His slaves, created His creation, and created their deeds, their obedience and their disobedience, their good and their evil. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created all of that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the one who prays and created his prayer. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created zakah and created that who performs zakah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran says, Allahu khalaqakum wa ma ta'malun, meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created you and created what you do. And also in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Allah created everything. As you will see, when Ibn Taymiyyah explains al-Shara', which is the law of God, and al-Qadr, you will see the confliction and the disarray that a lot of scholars are swimming in, and the areas they got lost in. For example, the one who disbelieves, the disbeliever, didn't Allah create him Yes, Allah created them. Didn't Allah create his disbelief? Yes, Allah created his disbelief. Also, you balance this with destiny. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destined for a person to be kafir, a certain person to be kafir. But that does not mean that you don't invite this person who is a disbeliever to Islam. You don't stay away from this person and not guide him or show him or teach him or explain to him, thinking that, okay, God destined for this person to be a disbeliever. You do not know if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also destined for this person to be guided. Some scholars see evil being done and they think that this is the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created this person and created the evil that he's doing, so why should I try to change it and advise this person or forbid this person? Let him do it because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created it. And the disaster in this is you abandon one of the greatest worship that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered, and that is forbidden evil and encouraging good. It is a secret of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he taught to no one, and that is the unknown. No one knows if this evil person committing this evil deed is to be among the closest persons to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when he becomes a Muslim or when he abandons disbelief and kufr. So without this kafir, a Muslim cannot worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the Pharaoh and created Abu Jahl and Abu Lahab. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created them for a wisdom. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to be worshipped in certain manners that cannot happen unless there is kuffar among us. If all people and all humanity was Muslim and believers in Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for example, says in the Quran, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted, he would have created all of you worshippers of him. If all people were believers, then the greatest worship of Allah, which is jihad, would not be necessary and cannot be performed. How can you do jihad in the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala if there is no kuffar? How would people be martyrs if there is no kuffar? That level, the highest level in paradise that is dedicated to ash-shuhada, to the martyrs, how would people be martyrs if there was no kuffar? The worship of patience and endurance. How would a person worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through patience and endurance if he does not put up with the kuffar's evil doings and enduring their injustice? If there is no misguided people and there is no kuffar, then the worship of da'wah, the worship of teaching towards the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would not exist. You would not be able to guide people into God's path. If Allah, for example, did not create ignorant people, then there would be no reason to seek knowledge. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also, scholars say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted his attributes to be shown and to be lived and felt. For example, the attribute of Allah, Al-Ghafoor, meaning the one who forgives. How would you know the meaning of forgive if you do not commit a sin, or if you don't repent? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is rich and has no need for His creation. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted His attributes and His names to be felt and understood. If there was no adversity, how would you feel and how would you understand when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala unveils that adversity and give you ease? How would you understand the meaning of Allah's mercy if you did not go through hardship and then that hardship was lifted? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inflict hardship so that when the hardship is lifted, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala lifts that hardship, then you know the meaning of merciful and generous, and other examples of Allah's attributes and the wisdom that no one knows except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the reasons for the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala do and does. Some people say, why would Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala create something that He does not like? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that He hates kufr. Why would Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala create it? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hates thieves. Why would Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala create thievery? And the answer to that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves the attribute that is as a result of those things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hates. For example, a sick person, when he's told, take this medicine, and this medicine is bitter and hard to swallow, but if you take it, you will be healed and cured. Seeking knowledge, for example, is very hard and very difficult and time-consuming and energy-consuming. But when the time and energy and effort are put in, then the result is worth it. A sick person who has to go through surgery, a painful cutting procedure and stitching and invading of the body, after going all of that, the result, if the result is being cured, then all of this hardship was worth it. The result of all of this is what is sought. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created al-kuffar and created their deeds. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created trials and tribulations and fitan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created all of that for the results that come after them, for the outcomes that come out of them. But that does not mean that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves thievery and loves kufr. Some people among the Sufis, for example, some sects of the Sufis, for example, get very angry when you tell them a person is not supposed to commit zina or is not supposed to steal. They get angry saying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created zina and created thievery and stealing. Then how do you deny me to perform something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created? So the scholars in Tadmur wrote to Ibn Taymiyyah telling him that these areas and these branches of worship are a cause of great conflict these days, and we ask you to write the speeches and the lesson that you gave, to put them in writing in a book so that they would stay with people to know what is right and wrong, to avoid confusion and misunderstanding. So the scholars of Tadmur wanted a book a book that addresses the scholars and their belief and misunderstanding of these areas. And want that book to also address the students who are seeking knowledge, the ones who want to know about these areas or these branches of Islam, and to also that same book to address regular people, normal people who are worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not necessarily scholars and not necessarily students of knowledge. And they reiterated to Ibn Taymiyyah that the need for this type of guidance is crucial. And the reason it is crucial is because misguidance has spread, and some people wrote, and rarely were they right about what they wrote in these areas, and most of the time they fell in fallacies and mistakes, and those fallacies and mistakes had misguided people. And the scholars in Tadmur continue saying that that confusion has led people into misguidance and has led them into committing mistakes in worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So here Ibn Taymiyyah says that he received a letter from the scholars of Tadmur, and the main purpose of this letter that he received is that the scholars of Tadmur, after hearing Shaykhul Islam Ibn Taymiyyah in lessons and in lectures discussing At-Tawheed, discussing the attributes of Allah and the law of Allah and destiny, they wanted him to put that knowledge in a letter or a book that clarifies and puts an end to confusion and puts an end to misguidance.
والكلام في الشرع والقدر هو من باب الطلب والإرادة الدائم بين الإرادة والمحبة وبين الكراهة والبغض نفيا
وإثبات. ابن تيمية moves on and starts by saying, speaking about At-Tawheed and the attributes, scholars say that Tawheed, Tawheed of worship to Allah, is concerning deeds and works and worship. And Tawheed, the second branch, Tawheed of the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is called Tawheed of knowledge, meaning it does not concern work, it concerns knowledge. So there is knowledge and there is work, working with knowledge and knowledge. So Ibn Taymiyyah here says that discussing At-Tawheed and the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is out of knowledge. Discussing At-Tawheed and the attributes of Allah is knowledge. If somebody, for example, said, somebody stood up, that means it's knowledge, it's a fact. Somebody got up or stood up. So regardless of a person saying something, if that something he says is identical to reality, then what he said is the truth, and it is not tied to the person who says it. It's a fact. It can be seen, it can be heard. The other type of speech, if somebody says someone or something like so-and-so got up or stood up, if that person did not see, for example, then what he says can be wrong. So the type of speech here is connected to the speaker. So if there is two types of speech, a speech that is connected to the speaker and speech that is not concerned with the speaker. If something is realistic and identical and related to reality, then regardless of who says it, it is felt and it is seen. And there is another type of speech. If the person who speaks it is a liar and a known liar, and what he says cannot be proven, then it cannot be taken as is, and it has to be supported by evidence. If somebody says, somebody stood up, he could be telling the truth and he could be lying. Ibn Taymiyyah continues and says, discussing al-shara' and al-qadr, discussing the law of God and discussing destiny. And of course, discussing the law of God and destiny also involves tawheed, meaning the tawheed of Allah, tawheed al-uluhiyya, meaning believing that Allah is the Lord and is the God. And that is a core belief of the law of God, al-shara'. For example, seeking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and dedicating your work and your worship to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that comes out of tawheed al-uluhiyya, meaning believing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only Lord. Or you cannot worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala if you associate partners with Him. That is not a worship that is accepted to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's two types of will. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you to pray and wants you not to kill and wants you not to steal. So this will or this want is called a will or a shar'iyya will, meaning a will of the law of God. And there is another type of will, or the second type of will, and there is a universal will. And universal will means what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creates and what subhanahu wa ta'ala wills and wants. That does not involve His creation. For example, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says be to something, it will be. And that is universe shara. So there is shara. So though that who disobeys the will of God that concerns ash-shar', meaning he is a disbeliever, he is not out of the law of God that is concerns the universe. In other words, did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala want you to worship Him? Yes. When you worshipped Him, did you fall into the will of God? Yes. If you did not worship Him, did you fall within the will of God? Yes. Some scholars said, will? Well, some scholars called it love. Meaning what happens in this universe, whether it's obeying or disobeying, happens by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And universal will is love, meaning what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creates, He loves. But we said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hates certain things. For example, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hates gossip, hates us to gossip, and hates for us gossip. We said will that is shar'iyya, it means love, and will that concerns the universe, and will that is in the universe, the universal will, the creation that does not include Allah's creation, or the creation of God is God's creation's deeds. Ibn Taymiyyah here says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala willed us to do things, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala willed us to refrain from doing things. And that we are supposed to confirm what Allah says that He loves, and confirm the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hates. And confirm these things with our saying and with our deeds. We'll pray the Maghrib inshallah and continue. Our brother is asking, do we say, may Allah be pleased with him, by others than the companions of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? It is okay to do it, but in the sense of supplication, asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be pleased with them, but not to say it after we say their names. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with the companions that supported His Messenger and stood by His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the scholars say that saying may Allah be pleased with them is dedicated to those companions who lived with the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and saw the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and supported him and protected him. And those generations that came after the companions, some scholars say it is okay to say may Allah be pleased with him, in the sense of making supplication, asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be pleased with them. but not to associate that attribute, saying, may Allah be pleased with him, with that person's name at all times. For example, when you mention the name of the Sahaba, you always say, may Allah be pleased with them. When you say Umar ibn al-Khattab, you say, may Allah be pleased with them. But for example, when you say Ibn Taymiyyah, one of the greatest scholars in Islam, you don't say, may Allah be pleased with him, every time you mention his name.